It is a privilege to be here with you guys, and we love this church, and we love you guys, and when I get to share, it's like being at home, and so I really appreciate that. You know, we're coming up on Christmas, and it's kind of crazy. Yesterday, for the first time in my life, I heard the song, Dominic the Donkey, Christmas Helper, who works in Italy with Santa Claus because the mountains are too steep. And I thought, what in the world is that? And growing up in Australia, I heard six white boomers. You probably didn't realize this, but in Australia, it's too hot for reindeer, so Santa Claus switches over to old men kangaroo called the six white boomers, and that's who takes Santa Claus through Australia. You know, we have all of these traditions and then a lot of myths and things that we talk about at Christmas time. And by now, most of us are glazed over with Christmas music. And by now, you've done shopping and you've probably decorated. And oftentimes, we do all these things and we're excited about Christmas. And yet, really thinking about the real meaning of Christmas, we think about it, and we love to say Jesus is the reason for the season, and we have our quaint sayings, but to understand Christmas, there's actually a little bit more involved. It starts with an amazing thing. It starts with an amazing thing, and that's God's plan. You see, God had an amazing plan that started before the foundation of the earth. And Christmas is a part of that plan, what it represents, but there is a greater plan at play. I want you to understand that it started in Genesis. Then God said, let us make humans in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the domestic animals all over the earth, and all the animals that crawl in the earth. He also said in Genesis 2:8, the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east. That's where he put the man whom he had formed. The Lord God made all the trees grow out of the ground. These trees were nice to look at, and their fruit was good to eat. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil grew there in the middle. And God developed this amazing plan where man would live in a special place and rule over it and amplify it and make it grow, and he'd be fruitful and he'd multiply. And he would take control. And that was the plan. Unfortunately, things happen. There was one very specific rule that God said. Come to me. I'll walk with you in the cool of the day. Come to me for your knowledge. I'll show you. In fact, if you remember that verse we looked at, it said he planted the garden and put Adam, the man he had created, in it. That means that he planted that garden in front of Adam, teaching him and showing him. And the idea was that man would walk with God. God would be with man. We'd go to him for our wisdom and for our knowledge. And that would be the plan. And there would be this communion that God wanted. And when God put man in the middle of that garden, there was but one rule. There wasn't sin, there was but one rule. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can do anything else, and I'll explain everything else, but don't go outside of me for your knowledge and for your wisdom. Just come to me for that. Well, as you know, something happened. Something terrible happened. Man decided that he would go to the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he would eat of that fruit because he could be like God and he would know good and evil. And that created a terrible thing. It created a horrific separation, a huge problem. Sin came into the world by one person, it says in Romans 5:12. And death came through sin. So death spread to everyone because everyone sins. You see, the problem that was created was this. Once sin entered, it passed on from generation to generation. The father passed it on to the children. And every person was born with a nature. And from that point on, the thumbprint of sin was on all creation. Never again could that same relationship be like was in the Garden of Eden. Romans 5:12 says, death ruled from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin in the same way Adam did by eating of the tree, footnote, Adam did when he disobeyed. Adam is the image of the one who would come. You see, death and sin took over at that point in time. You say, well, Scott, what in the world does this have to do with Christmas? Well, Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden. An angel with a fiery sword was put at the entrance. And from that point on, man had to toil and work hard. Things like weeds began to happen, and disease and sickness. And the most of all, death began to happen. Isaiah 59:2 explains the situation. It says, your wrongs have separated you from your God. Your sins have made him, his face hide from you so that he doesn't hear you. Here's the problem. That was not God's desire. His plan wasn't for us to be separated from him. His plan was to walk with us in the cool of the day, for us to come to him with our desire of knowledge. But sin wreaks havoc. Brings a death sentence, and it's terrible. The good thing is this: God had a plan. He had an amazing plan, and that plan was relationship with you. And so while the payment of sin would be death, and that could never be changed, it was a law, there was something that he could do for us. There was a way that he could make it possible for us to be acceptable to him. The gift of God. The payment of sin is death, but the gift of God freely gives us everlasting life found in Jesus Christ our Lord. There is something that God was going to do. That was the provision. You see, God had determined this relationship before the foundation of the earth. His desire for relationship with you. His desire for you to choose him, for me to choose him. Not the forced relationship of a robot. Not the forced relationship of somebody that was mindless. But the relationship that comes when somebody reaches out and says, I choose you. Ephesians 1:4 says, before the creation of the world, he chose us through Christ to be holy and perfect in his presence. That means that he decided that despite what would happen, despite sin, there would be a way that we could be acceptable to God. God never does anything without telling the prophets. And so he began what was the plan. 2,000 years before, he said in Genesis, a scepter will not depart from Judah, talking through that prophecy about the lineage that Jesus would come in. He said that Shiloh would be sent, the chosen one. Around 1,000 years beforehand, he said that his son would be receiving special gifts. 700 years before, in Isaiah, he said, so the Lord himself will give you this sign. A virgin will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and she will name his name Emmanuel, God with us. Micah 5:2 says this. Let's look actually at Micah 4:8. 737 years before, he said, and you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Micah 5:2, it said this, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, thou be little amongst the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been told about from old. Now, it's interesting that God told what would happen. There would be somebody that would come. He would be the one that would restore everything. Through him, we could be made right with God, peace with God. He told us where, that he'd be born in Bethlehem, 5.7 miles from Jerusalem. That's the location. Normally, when sheep are born, in most countries, they're born in unusual places, in fields, but at night they're brought in to the sheepfolds. The sheepfolds are very important. They're where they keep the sheep safe from wolves and from people that would steal them. The shepherds oftentimes will lay in front of the doorways at night to protect their sheep. The sheep were prized possessions. It was a thankless job to be a shepherd. Most of the time, the shepherds were somewhat looked down on. And Bethlehem was a place where sheep were raised for sacrifice in Jerusalem. Now, it's kind of interesting when you think about that. There are two lambs sacrificed every day for the temple sacrifice in Jerusalem during this time. So 700 and some odd lambs would be sacrificed. But one time of year, that number grew. It grew significantly. One time of year, that number swelled. The hillsides could not contain sheepfolds enough for the sheep. You see, the sheep would come in this one time of year for a very special event. It was called the Paschal Feast, Passover. And the sheep would be held on the countryside because literally thousands, sometimes as many as 10,000, would be sacrificed for Passover. And so for this one month, Bethlehem would be inundated with sheep. They would be everywhere. And special men appointed to watch for sheep having their young, ewes about to have lambs, would wander through the flock and select out special sheep that were about to have their lambs. Those lambs and those sheep were taken somewhere interesting. They were taken to a place called the Tower. The Tower was a place where the sheep would be held, and they would be held in a very special environment. The young would be had, and then the priests would come, and if the shepherds certified the sheep, the priests would come and they would inspect the sheep to see if it was perfect. Why did they do that? Well, see, only certain sacrifices were accepted. If you wanted to offer a sacrifice for sin or for something else, it had to be spotless and without blemish. And so during this time of year, shepherds kept watch over the sheep in the fields at night. Young lambs would be taken to the temple, or to the tower of the flock. They would be taken there, and then something interesting would happen as they found them. They'd been inspected carefully, and then the babies would be taken, and the baby would be wrapped in special cloth, the perfect ones, the ones without blemish, the ones that would become the sacrifice. They'd be taken, and they'd be wrapped in special cloth, and then be laid in something like this, what's commonly known as a manger. Now, the mangers that were there were designed as cattle stalls, but they were designed to hold the sacrificial lambs, the lambs that were going to be offered as sin offerings for the children of Israel. Now, think about that for just a second. Think about the story you know. Angels keeping watch over their flocks by night.
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
There in the location. The location where the sacrifice sacrificial lambs were placed. The perfect ones. The spotless ones. Where they were wrapped in swaddling clothes, where they were laid in a manger, waiting for sacrifice. There, they placed Jesus. The one who left heaven, who spoke into existence the world, who made the Garden of Eden. The one who had the ability to speak in the very power of his words, hold our atoms together by the power of his word. That one left heaven. Why did he do it? Why? Because God wanted relationship with you. And with me. It was all about relationship. And sin entered the world, and when it entered the world, it ruined that relationship and brought separation. And for a time, animals were sacrificed as a temporary covering, a way to make temporary peace, to cover sin. But it took the greatest sacrifice that ever lived to make it right, to pay for the sin. The beauty of this is this: God's sacrifice was so great that it was an overpayment for our sins. And that overpayment for our sins was so great that we could never, ever, ever be condemned if we accept it. That's amazing. That's amazing. You say, well, Scott, that seems a little far-fetched. Look at Genesis. Look at what you see here in Genesis chapter 5. It's fascinating, if you will, as you read the lineage: Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Michael, Jared, Enosh, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. You know, that list of names of the patriarchs: Adam meant man, Seth, appointed, Enosh, mortal, Canaan, sorrow, Michael, the blessed of God, each name meaning something. Jared, shall come down. Enoch, teaching. Methuselah, his death shall bring. Lamech, the despairing. Noah, comfort or rest. You know, that list of names, each one meaning something interesting. If you put them together, have a very powerful message. Man has appointed mortal sorrow. Can you flip back to that last, please? Man has appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down teaching, and his death shall bring the despairing comfort. Does it sound like anything you might have heard before? That's the plan of God. And so he went to such infinite detail through such great commitment that from the time of Genesis of Adam, he prepared a plan, he prepared a way, he made it possible so that you and I could have a relationship with him. He even put it in the names, the lineage up to Noah. So I have a question for you. What is Christmas about to you? What does it mean to you? The God of the universe was committed to relationship. Are you? Do you know him or do you know about him? We all see the nativity scenes. We all hear the songs. But do you know him or do you know about him? The God of the universe wants to spend time with you. I'm going to cut this short today, but I want to give you an opportunity. Can I have a musician come? You know, if you're here today and you don't know this Jesus, the one who left heaven, the one who died on the cross, the one who rose again, but the one who came as the baby at Christmas time. If you don't know this Jesus, I want to make a suggestion for you. We're all going to stand, if you would, please. If you don't know him, I want to encourage you to do one thing. Don't let today go by without settling that. God explains it clearly in his word. He makes it abundantly clear and very simple. It translates into every single language. I've had the privilege of being in 55 countries. And the story of Jesus makes sense in every one of them. We are the only people whose God was willing to die for us. And that God wants you to know him. He wants to spend time with you. If you're here and you don't know him, I'm going to ask you to do something brave, something really brave. I'm going to ask you to come down to the front. We're going to have our eyes closed. Somebody's going to take you by the hand. And in so doing, they're going to share with you the amazing news, how you can change your forever by knowing Jesus, by knowing the King who was inspected like a lamb, certified by the shepherds, so that he could die on a cross as our sacrifice. We're going to pray, and then we're going to let the music play for a few minutes. And if you're here and you don't know him, please, 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 don't let today go by without settling that. Without settling that. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your plan. Such an amazing plan. A plan where you became the very sacrifice. Where you became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And you went to such detail to prove it to everyone around. The shepherds knew it. Nobody gave them directions to where you would be. They said, you'll find a virgin who gave birth with a baby boy lying in a manger in swaddling clothes. And they knew instantly, he's at the tower where we certify our lambs. Wow. Lord Jesus, I ask that if there's someone here who doesn't know you, that today, they would pass from that death sentence to life. Keep your heads bowed. And if you're here and you don't know him, can I ask you, please, what better time than the time that Jesus came, the part of his plan? Come and talk to us. Let us show you. Let us resolve this once and for all. Let us show you how you can pass from death to life. Is there anyone here? Anyone that's not sure? Anyone that doesn't know? We'll let the music play for just another minute or two. The Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus of Christmas. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these people that are here. And Lord, I ask that you bless them and help them to experience the joy of the greatest gift ever given, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and you are dismissed.